Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on Yo Bravs. Hi, everybody. I'm Ronnie Karam, and that's Ben Mantelker over there. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Ronnie. What's up?
Not much. How are you?
I'm great. I'm in New York. I'm at my childhood home back again, visiting my parents for the first time since 2020. So it's been really wonderful and it's lovely. Although I am finding the logistics of actually recording a podcast in this house getting harder and harder and harder every time I do it.
Yeah. Especially after you've given it that much time. I've realized that COVID, you know, the being stuck in the house for the year really affected the parents more than anyone. My parents are moving right now and they've been moving for like 6 weeks. I mean, wow. Just the shit you pile up, you know?
Yeah. My parents have like piled up stuff all around this my childhood desk. I mean, it was always sort of crowded, but now it just seems so crowded and there's just like not enough room. And I'm currently sitting here. I've got a microphone that's on a little stand that's stacked on top of a board game on top of a book. And I'm like hunched over it. Like my back is going to be dead by the end of it, because if I try to sit up straight or normally, then my voice is all the way over here.
Yeah. And that no one sounds likes like that. You're in the bathroom. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't need that. So I'm just going to sit here like this and just like hunched over, just staring at an old game of Clue. And, you know,
so
I'm right next to a
printer. Life. Basically, yeah. You're living like me right now.
I'm right next to a printer. And I told my parents, listen, Mom and Dad, I'm going to be podcasting for the next few hours. So please don't come in here. And they're like, well, what if we have to print something? I'm like, well, could you like not print it? Like, well, we might have to print something. So there's a good chance that in the middle of this podcast, the printer's going to, you're just going to hear a printer. Like it's right next to the mic. There's no hiding it. We'll just be talking about Reza and he'll be like, bitch be like.
But isn't it funny how you become your parents? Because that happens to you too. I'll be like, what is that? And you're like, oh, it's the printer.
Well, my printer in home in LA sometimes just decides to go on just to exert its presence. It doesn't really like print anything, but it'll be like for like 30 seconds. And you're like, what are you like? I get it. You're here. You're in my room. You don't need to like announce yourself. It's kind of like it's being ignored. It's like,
it's just to remind you it's still alive. I do that in bed too. So Bueller doesn't, you know, come sniff my face to make sure that I'm still breathing. I'll do that. I'll just be laying there and then I'll go,
Well, it's like when you're the first kid awake at the sleepover and you're like, and you're like waiting for other kids to wake up. And you're like, come on.
All right. Well, today, here we are, everybody, with Shaws of Sunset. Wow. African-themed party on Shaws of Sunset. just in case anybody, there's anybody out there who hasn't cringed enough this week with just the regular news of the world, which is insane as usual. But here we have the Shaws of Sunset having an African-themed party. And let's remember this was filmed at the height of everything going on in this country. There's BLM protests all over the country right now when this is happening. Major things being discussed. So Golnessa decides to have an African-themed party, complete with African dancers, and Mike dressed as a monkey. So, you know, super classy episode, guys.
Yeah. So, you know, I know things get a little bit more complicated when we're talking, but, you know, like, listen, we're white guys. We're white passing, I guess. But from what I've learned over the past year, because we've been, you know, trying to educate ourselves, right? Isn't like about appropriation, right? It's like if you're wearing someone's culture as your costume, it's like not so good. That's kind of what I was thinking the entire time. I was like, is this bad? Is this not right? Am I watching something that's not right? I can't tell right now. I feel like this is not quite right, but I can't tell. So I just decided to chalk it up to just good old-fashioned Shaw's cringiness.
Well, yeah, it was pretty cringe. But, you know, I mean, it's Shaw's. We can go down the faults of every single person in this cast.
Yes.
But, yeah, it's Shaw's, you know. I mean, this whole episode is about, did you actually fuck the lady you were texting about, you know, boning in the butt? Were you only texting one of those people that, but then your friends were actually making up texts about you boning them in the butt? Or are you still mad that your friend said that you had 10 abortions and that's why your uterus exploded? Or are we mad because your mother told the lady that she lost a little weight, but she still needed to get an ass?
Yeah.
Or it's like, you can just go down the line, okay?
Right, right. It's sort of like weird that, you know, cultural appropriation doesn't land at the top of the list of like cringeworthy things on this episode.
They're all at the top. I got it.
So
unlike a party at Adam's house, they're all tops. Okay, so let's go to previously. There's a snake in this group that's trying to ruin my relationship with Paulina.
Paulina! But I also have to say that
your dick is the snake, sir. Okay,
it's
the snake
literally
is between
a snake.
Your legs. Keep your snake in your legs, in between, in your pants, sir.
By the way, I'm wearing some earbuds from circa 2004, and their volume is really quiet. So sometimes I just don't hear you. So if I talk over you this episode, it's just because I think there's dead air, and I just get nervous. So
how is
it apologize
possible
to
not to hear me.
Well, I'm cranking up the volume even more right now. I'm like, what? See, I guess I am turning into my parents. What'd you say? What'd you speak up? Speak up! I also can't yell right now. I can't be as loud as I want to be because my dad is in the next room over conducting a Zoom with like a tax board of some sort where he's like, that he's on. So the last thing they need while they're doing their official town business is me in the background being like, that's so Persian!
Okay, so we start at Gigi's condo, and, you know, I don't know, there's a baby, and of course, baby's a grandmother home. And a nanny, you know?
Yes.
Gigi really took that whole, it takes a village thing to heart, and has an entire village at her house at all. I mean, that's a way to mother, isn't it? I mean, I would probably parent if I didn't, you know, if I could just pop it out and then just kind of leave, you know?
I mean,
everybody would parent if you could, like, still go to the mall all the time.
I think I would take on literally every responsibility in the world if I could just do that. I'd be like, okay, sure, I'll go for an MBA. Sure, can you do this for me? Thanks.
Yeah.
Like, I would literally do it all. Sure.
Delegation. She's very good at delegation, okay?
I thought you were trying to say Della Reese. I was like, Della Reese, actress, yes. Rest in peace. So,
I was trying to make the name Gigi work with delegation, but you know, delegation.
Delegalnessation.
Yeah, it didn't work.
No, it didn't. We'll have to delegate that pun out to someone to make it work.
I'm going
to
ask Roxy the nanny to make that work. So maybe next week we'll have something.
So yeah, Gigi is talking about how quarantine hit and her mom just started staying at the house. Gigi says it as if it was a pure accident, as if Gigi did not beg her mom to stay and take care of everything and refill the candy bowls, you know. And
she's complaining about it. Like, you're getting free fucking nonstop 24-hour-a-day child care. It's like complaining to the Costco sample person. Like, you know what? That chicken bite really needs more salt, sir.
Yeah. So, yeah, she's talking about how her mom's her best friend, but we just bickered a lot. And, you know, Elijah's 6 months old now, and my mom is still here. I'm like, you should be so lucky that your mom is still there.
Yeah, and she says,
pandemic.
She says we still bicker. And then they show the clips. That's not bickering. That's elder abuse. Yeah.
You know what it is? It's not. It's neither. It's uninteresting. So Gigi is. She's like. She starts saying like, just so we're clear about Elijah's party, because of COVID, I don't want him there long. Okay, I just want to make sure he's not around a bunch of people, and he just makes his appearance, then he's gone. I'm like, well, why are you having this party then? I mean,
it cracks me up that the whole time she's worried about getting in trouble for COVID restrictions, right? Because she's constantly going, but it's going to be 6 feet apart, so it's totally safe that we're doing it. Thank you for coming. I haven't allowed anybody to see my baby. And now you can all, it's like, okay, but now you're having like 30 people see him and you're having an African themed party. Just stop.
Well, the infection doesn't just stop at Gigi. She's like, no one can see the baby. No one can see the baby. However, I will mix and mingle with all 30 people. It's like, yes. And that's how you would also pass along any kind of infection, regardless of whether it's COVID or not, to your baby.
Yeah. I like that. It's just so strong of her to hold off for 6 months and then bring like 50 people.
I know.
Get their shit all over the baby.
So apparently only Reza, Adam, and Destiny have seen Elijah, the privileged few who've been able to see this baby. But now she wants other people to see him in real life, which I actually understand. So we have Anita. Anita comes back. Anita is one of our OG friend ofs on this show. She's from season one, and she comes with a bag and a vision board of party ideas. And Gigi's like, you know, it was so easy for me to come up with the theme because Elijah just loves animals. Or maybe it's me that loves animals. I just want the animals. I'm like, yeah, I think it's you. I don't think Elijah knows what an animal is right now.
And this Anita girl brought 3D models made out of popsicle sticks. And I still believe her more than I believe Destiny is a popular party planner. Which, are we dropping that storyline? It looks like next week maybe she says, I'm doing an event. So I don't know if that just means a party at her house or an actual event. I think it's a party at her house, but I guess we're just forgetting that Destiny's a party planner. But I'll go with it. I like popsicle stick art. So you go, Anita.
I'm going to assume we're going to just drop that storyline because Reza didn't hire her for Palm Springs and Gigi didn't hire her for this party. And those are Destiny's two friends. So I think that shop is closed.
So Anita shows her this popsicle stand thing and then like a grassy area. And she has like little models for the car and stuff. I was like, where's the guy dressed like a monkey who's cheating on his girlfriend all the time? And then the queen, you know, wandering around the party going, oh, my God, I really wanted to hug you so bad. And then the other one screaming, you won't let me see your baby.
Or the white guys dressed as African drummers drumming.
That too. Yeah. Like you're missing some figures. Okay, you're missing some figures.
I know. So, I don't know. Actually, in some weird way, I really enjoyed Anita sort of, planning out a party via Thunderbirds figurines. I like that in a weird way. Because I think it's close to what I would do. I would just pull out all my childhood Fisher-Price toys. And I guess I'm saying that because I'm sitting amongst them right now. But
and those figures are actually probably made of about as much rubber as any Bravo star will be by the end of their reign. So it kind of works.
Yeah, I feel like I'm actually actively sitting in a pitch deck for Anita's next party, just with all these like Legos and Playmobil things around. Yeah. So
you've got your little popsicle stand for your laptop over there.
I'm literally looking at a mailbox that says Play School, Postal Station, and then underneath it is a Sesame Street building. Did you ever have that thing?
It was wow, like your parents really never let go of the past, huh?
So I think it's time
to throw some shit out.
Well, some of this stuff sort of came out from hiding because the grandkids, but now the grandkids are old enough that they're not playing with them. So they just sort of are around. But I have to say, the Sesame Street building is pretty dope. It was like you can open it up and it has different floors and it was pretty cool. So anyway, speaking of children's stuff, MJ is now at a children's store with Mike. And Mike's like, so I guess this is like a sip and see? And she's like, no, it's not a sip and see. It's a welcome to the world. See, and then she tells us a sip and see is a Southern tradition where women sip mimosas and see the baby. Which is exactly what I did last year. Whereas a welcome party is where Golnessa doesn't want to copy me. So we have to rebrand it for her ego.
Yeah. So he's like, listen, you already have this cheetah onesie. Why are you buying this? Because she's talking about what she's going to wear to the party. And of course, MJ has 9 million cheetah onesies. She's got, like, we get to see a parade of all of MJ's cheetah onesies over the years. And she's like, no, you're thinking of the one with mesh cutouts for the boob. Oh, no. You're thinking of the one with the unbuttoned butt, just in case I have to go. Oh, no. You're thinking of the one with the, we see cheetah outfit after cheetah outfit. And he's like, you know what? How about if I come as a snake? Oh, yeah. Do you like that joke? Do you like it?
She's like, whatever. So then meanwhile, Reza and Adam are at home and Destiny comes over. Hello! And so Reza is like, girl, you look so good. She goes, I love you. Make a sundae. Look, I have Jenny's Splendid Ice Cream. Not a sponsor at all whatsoever, but please make a sundae. And Bravo, feel free to cut to this ice cream in a bowl 5 more times during the scene.
Bitch be Sunday. So she's like, oh my God, that's so Bastani. Because she has to say as many Farsi words as she can, because that's like her thing. So he's like, what's up, babe? What is up? Because he's in so much trouble right now, pretty much with everybody. So he's really just laying it on thick.
Yeah. So Gigi's like, honestly, he's like, how are you? And Gigi, who's there, says, like, honestly, Reza, not good. I feel abandoned. You left me. I mean, come on. This is like the most, okay, you were not abandoned in the middle of a foreign city and left to fend for yourself in a language you don't know. You were left at an Airbnb, all expense paid, luxury accommodations with all of your friends. Okay. So he's like, yeah. Well, I need to apologize. You know, me dipping before you guys left was so not cool. But for me, I knew I had to get out of there. I mean, the lies were stacking on top for one another for me. And like, bitch be like, I can't have so many lies stacked up. Like, that's like, that was like a Jenny's Splendid Ice Cream Sundae of lies.
And Gigi is there now. Gigi's there now. And she's like, bro, but you got to tell us. Like, you got to tell us so we can like go get a hotel or something. And he says, well, you know what? I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to be like Captain Save-A-Ho for Paulina. Look, you know, sorry I tried to help you. No good deed goes unpunished. But she believes him, okay? You know, look, there's a lot of reasons I couldn't be friends with Reza. One, he's horrible. Two, he wears glitter shirts in public.
Yeah.
I mean, I could be here all day, but this is the worst offense. Having a sundae bar, and these are the flavors he has. Lemon, tangerine, or mango. The fuck kind of sundae bar is that? Get out of my life.
I thought you were going to say his big offense was quoting from Wicked. No good deed goes unpunished.
Popular. I want to be popular.
I think he actually probably does sing that one to himself. I just wish I knew the lyrics for Defying Gravity.
Bitch lost 40 pounds and now I'm defying gravity. So Gigi is like, you know, I have like this history with Reza, and so like it's very like, this is so hard that he would do that to me. And then we see their history where Gigi keeps in every episode making herself this big huge victim that everybody has always been so mean to poor Gigi. So I'd love in every single episode it's like, fuck you bitch, I'll fucking kill you, and then pushing at him with the roses. Ow, my neck. Every single episode.
But what is remarkable is they do keep showing the Gigi storming out moment. But what's also remarkable is how much footage they have of all of these people doing dirty by all of each other. Like that, the fact that it's like two episodes in a row that they were able to mine multiple scenes for a montage of Reza being awful to Gigi and have like minimal overlap in the clips, you know? I'm like, wow, they just have so much for so many montages at this point.
Yeah.
So Reza goes, listen, I want to tell you exactly what my conversation with Mike is verbatim, okay? We were on the phone, I was eating some Jenny's Splendid ice cream, and I was like, bitch, be like gaining 40 pounds again, am I right? Anyway, this was like when he was still trying to convince me that the real fake messages were fake, and then like he was telling me people were like out to get him, and I was like, Mike, you sound unhinged. You sound like someone who has not enjoyed the beautiful flavors of Jenny's Splendid ice cream yet.
You sound really sour right now, like a lemon, which is a delicious flavor of Jenny's ice cream.
Totally clean factories. No listeria whatsoever.
So cut back to the store where Mike's like, I said Reza. Listen, this is what I said. Masturbate him. I said Reza. Tell me that it wasn't you, because you're the only one that does this kind of stuff. And he goes, it was Gigi. And then cut back to Reza going, he said, I know it's Gigi. I know it is.
And Gigi's like, because you had already said it's Golnessa. And Reza goes, no, I didn't say anything about Golnessa. And so Destiny goes, well, you know, he's very scared of you. He's very, very scared of you. Well, it just seems like a lot of smoke and mirrors. And I'm thinking he made the fake text messages because he got caught with the real ones. So in conclusion, what Mike is saying is smoke and mirrors, but my proposal that he actually found the app and made the spoof messages himself and then interacted with himself and then claimed that they were me trying to frame you when it was really me, that is the more realistic theory here.
Yeah, they're all so guilty as hell in this. I think, you know, obviously Mike sent the original WhatsApp messages, right? So we all know that. He admits to that. And then, of course, of course he did. And I don't doubt if Gigi did it either. I think that they were, like, sitting there laughing on the phone thinking they were being hilarious. But now it's, like, this huge thing.
Yeah, I mean, the sad thing is that Reza's theory is not out of the ballpark for Mike. Like, I would not be surprised if that happened. But yeah, I kind of get the sense that basically Reza was doing it as a joke, and then the joke backfired, and now he's in defensive mode.
Yeah. And Destiny, shut up. You know what? You know what? No one needs a talking crutch, lady. Okay.
Oh my God. Yeah, Mike's so scared of you. It couldn't be Reza. I mean, oh my God, go away.
So Mike says, back with Mike, he's like, the only person that wasn't honest is Reza. And I think he's the one sending out these text messages. And then back to Gigi. And she's like, well, listen, we're going to need to talk about this. He goes, yes, next time I see him. She's like, no, because the next time we see him is a very, very important day for my son.
It's a day when my son will be brought out for 30 seconds, okay? But for 4 hours, you cannot ruin that day because it all matters to my son, who will not be present for almost all of it.
So he's like, well, I'm only working towards being a better flavor of mango for you, Lucy's ice cream. And MJ, I want to be a good friend to MJ too, so one day I can meet Baby Shams! Which is so ridiculous. Like, he so already knew that he was banned from meeting Shams.
Of course.
Now he's putting himself in this, like, all I want in life is a couple of nuts on my delicious Lucy's and to meet Baby Shams.
I know, it's like you could have met him actually when he was born if you weren't being a jackass. So Gigi says, oh, well, no, you won't meet Baby Shams because, you know, MJ said that when it comes to Reza, he can never see the baby. Because, and then she explains, like, well, you know, you gotta.
This is all news to me about MJ. She had told me she was giddy that we were friends again. I'm afraid I'm going to cry into my Jenny's Splendid ice cream. And I like many toppings, but tears are not one of them.
She's like, well, I'm sure it was true that she, you know, meant all that stuff. And he's like, she's not even close with Gornessa. She should tell me this firsthand. It's like so hard to take him seriously in that glitter shirt. I can't.
Reza, I don't think, Reza, maybe, like, you, like, I don't know what part of you have a restraining order against my husband. Like, do you need to have explained firsthand as to why you will not be meeting the baby? It's like pretty simple. And she even told you last season, you need to drop this restraining order. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to move forward. Right. So it's just this. He's just acting like such a victim as if he's cared about this baby all along.
Yeah. Well, I know what we can get our mind off of all of this. Let's go to do some painting class.
Yeah, Nima's gonna go to Venice Beach to do some painting class, and you know what? He walks up and he goes, hey, my friend has been wanting to do this, and she's been talking about it nonstop. It's sort of her new brand, so I'm really excited to be doing this right now. This is great. This is wonderful.
I'm sure this is exactly what MJ wanted to do. Drive an hour and a half from Calabasas to Santa Monica.
Venice. Yeah. To paint.
Do a shitty painting class. So MJ comes and he's like, oh, you're giving me Madonna 80s vibes.
Not really. He says, yeah, the way you have your jacket around your shoulders. I'm like, or just a lady, just any lady who's worn a jacket in her life.
Yeah.
So Nima's wearing, they're drinking wine and Lima's wearing his wine glass around his neck because he got like a little caddy. And they're like, oh, yeah, remember I was wearing this in Big Bear that one time when I nearly kissed Gornessa. Wow, our on and off story, love storyline is really captivating to so many people, mainly myself.
Yeah, I think it's so funny that every time all the other people on this cast have a scene and they show a montage. It's of, I'm going to fucking kill you. I'm going to cut you to death. And then when they show his, it's like, oh, remember that time I brought something to hang my wine glass around my neck?
Yeah, pretty much. So basically They're painting, and MJ is talking about how she goes, remember that era in your life when you would light candles and pour wine and have a turntable? I don't even know what that means, to be honest. She goes, well, one of the things that you do when you're a cool person is you paint. I'm like, I don't understand the turntable part, but I support it. Basically, it's a pandemic and you're stuck at home and you're bored. So even the idea of going to go painting with Nima an hour and a half away is appealing at this point.
So Nima's saying that the whole trip to Palm Springs was bizarre because Gigi won't even talk to him when they're in the same house for 3 days. And he just doesn't get it. And she's like, yeah, but don't you remember you rejected her? Like, a woman has a right to feel overthrown. Whatever that means.
Yeah, she says she has a right to feel the afterflow of you rejected me.
I was like, why would she feel the overthrow? What does that mean?
So Nima's like, but we were cool after Hawaii for months, and now I'm not even invited to what should be a very culturally appropriate birthday party, unless it's something goes terribly awry. Am I correct?
God. And MJ is like, well, one thing that I learned getting to the good place that I'm in is I had to wipe out all my excuses, you know, because it's not just Gigi shit. It's also your shit. She's like, okay. What did he ever do to her? Did she get mad at him about the weed business thing when he was giving her all that free work for that when he was trying to brand her
probably,
or do whatever?
Probably. I didn't get the impression that she was feeling rejected and embarrassed by the fact that people want to actually have sex, but maybe she was. I don't
know. The only person that thinks Nima was in a relationship with Gigi is Nima. He's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. Unless maybe like she was annoyed because he goes and talks almost as if they have this like magnetic chemistry and she's like just not that into him. Maybe that's what annoys her. I don't know.
Or I guess it was last year because he sided with MJ and all that stuff and kept trying to bring her around. I can't keep up with why these people hate each other.
Yeah. The Nima storylines have yet to be totally compelling.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So now Gigi, she goes to meet with London and a woman named Heather, who is London's spiritual advisor in a very interesting wig.
It's basically just Kim Zolciak's wig.
If it fell off a building.
Trying to make money after the cancellation of the show.
Yeah, it's like if Kim Zolciak's wig fell off a building and then Heather happened to be walking along the street down below and it just landed on her head. That's kind of what we have going on there.
Kim Zolciak without boning an NFL player.
So Heather is an intuitive life coach and she says, I can't read minds, but I can feel feelings. Like I can feel how you feel right now, just like I can see the grass is green.
I feel things like with my wig. Okay, like right now, I know that you're really upset because my scalp itches. Because you're wearing a fucking plastic bag wig, okay?
If my wig rotates 45 degrees, then I know you're feeling sad. Are you feeling sad?
Now listen, I really want to tell you what's going on, okay? I got to tell you, I connected to your friendship situation the second I put this yellow pom-pom on my head.
Listen, Cthulhu's on my head, and what Cthulhu is telling me is that 10 minutes earlier, London told me all about your situation, and Cthulhu feels, and therefore I feel, like you're not happy right now.
And London's like, you know what? She's my spiritual consultant, okay? She can feel energy, and she can embody energy, all right? So, will you be receptive to this? Will you be receptive to this?
Yeah, and then it was this one Gigi said, like, well, it's not normally my thing, but I'd be open to it. She said something like that. And I'm like, Gigi, please don't do the it's not normally my thing. And thank God they put in a little montage of Gigi doing literally every kind of crazy therapy there is out there. And all of a sudden she's going to draw the line at this crazy lady with a wig when Gigi has literally done, like, I'm surprised she has not, like, put her hands on one of those electric balls that make your hair stand up. And it's like that's supposed to be your therapy.
Like, didn't you try and get impregnated by a stick of sage? Like, give me a fucking break.
Didn't you get trampled by a camel once and it was like supposed to be therapy?
Yeah.
It's like yoga, except much more intense.
Yeah. So London's like, you know, Gigi, I have really gotten to know you deeply. Okay. And over so 2 days. This is all about authenticity. What are you talking about? You don't know her deeply. How can you even say the word authenticity? London is so full of shit. And I absolutely love it. I think she's the perfect person that they need to bring. Because I miss that with Asa. You know, this was Asa's thing where she's like, babe, it's like the energy, babe. You know, it's like the energy in the world, babe. That's what we need to tap into.
And you're so right. That's she totally is filling that Asa void because like sort of like an earth mothery, but like London is even, I actually feel like London's even more full of bullshit because London doesn't know these people at all, but she keeps saying things like, I get you. I know you. I feel like she just wants to speak it into existence. You know?
She's totally secreting it, you know?
Yeah.
We're just like, I'm just going to tell you you're my best friend until you're my best friend. I mean, London is full of shit, but I'll bet she always gets that good parking space girl and the Ross, you know, she does.
Well, because she understands Ross from a deep
she level. Understands that, you know, because that's the whole thing with The Secret. Like, if you think about that parking space and you imagine yourself, it's like The Secret at the lowest level, you know, and then you get a parking space and you're like, oh my God, I totally did this. I made this happen.
I mean, that's pretty much what The Secret is used for, is getting parking spaces. I mean, it's been used to like try to cure cancer or things like that. But let's be honest. Its most common application is a parking spot.
In my life, it is.
Yeah. So, so Gigi's saying how it's just not easy to trust Mike because of their turkey scandal, which amazingly with this show does not involve, you know, a fight over, you know, a turkey sandwich. It is actually that she said that Mike was trying to have sex with her in Turkey and he denied it. And then and she like accused him of it in front of Jessica. And so Gigi says, I fucked up his marriage in his mind. And in my mind, I'm thinking, of course, Gigi would be so egotistical to think that she was the cause of Mike's relationship falling apart when it's like clear that she's not the only one. I mean, like, it was like if she were the only one, that marriage would still be together. Cause I think Jessica knew Mike's past, but I think clearly there was like a million instances. And finally, Jessica was like, I cannot stand this anymore.
Right. So she's like, okay, so in his mind, I fucked up his marriage. And then there's Reza, who's done these things in the past. So that's obviously, you know, a possibility. So did Reza say that I was the one doing those fake tests? And London says, or was he just, as we like to say in spiritual circles, joking it up? Was he just joking it up?
Joking it up.
And then it just shows Gigi staring at a squirrel. Like, totally not into it.
Well, no, the squirrel was supposed to represent Heather being able to read, like, read people's feelings. Like, she can see that the grass is green.
Oh, okay.
So, like, whenever we look at the grass, we know that Heather is feeling things. And so, Heather's like, well, you have a real reason to feel betrayed by Reza. And Reza implied it, and then Mike exaggerated it. And that's where you're at. Everyone feels like they're telling the truth.
Yeah, you're in a very unfair position, much like this yellow golf grass that I've got attached to my head.
Listen, you are hurt, much like this purple grass is hurt. Well, I thought you said the grass is green. Oh, my feelings must be a little bit out of whack. I'll see you tomorrow.
So then over at MJ and Tommy's house, Tommy's like, am I dressed all right? My pants are antidepressant blue.
Yeah, so Vita's coming over, and so MJ's putting on Vita's favorite lipstick for her birthday, and so Vita shows up. Which sounds weird,
but Vita is a makeup counter lady at heart, and she's obsessed with lipstick, so there, it's kind of sweet.
And it's also, like, it's one less thing for Vita to harp on her about, you know? She's like, just one less thing that my mom can complain about. So Vita arrives all nice, like, hi, Tommy, how are you? Hi, Tommy. You know, she's all smiles now.
Yes, and she is so in love with the baby. It's cute, actually.
It is really
she
cute.
Just keeps, every time the baby's around, she just keeps staring at it and going, oh, little baby, you're a little baby. Listen, you're not fat, but you could use a butt. Get this baby a butt. I love you, grandma loves you.
And she sees MJ and she's like, oh, well, you look different. She goes, you like it? Different. So Shams comes out in like a little bow tie and he's so cute and he's like crying and everything. And Vita is being super grandma. She's like, well, he looks like Nunoktoji because he's Nunoktoji himself. It was like really cute. She's like, it's like, is this the same Vita Is this the same Vita? Like, shouldn't she be, like, scolding Shams for not being good at ping pong yet?
Yeah, shouldn't, I think the editors know what you were feeling because they instantly inserted clips of how evil Vita is.
Yes.
MJ's like, you know, it's gotten better with my mom and I've forgiven, but I will not ever forget. And then we see clips of Vita saying, you are not marriage material. You should never be married. I don't think Tommy is the one for her. And she's like, yeah, so if it was for her, I would not be married or have a baby. But, you know, we'll get over that for right now. She did just drive to Calabasas.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Well, she got ridden. She rode there. So then she makes a toast and she's like, you know, being grandmother, you value your grandchildren much more, even if they have no S. And especially the way Mercedes had him. Thank God. And thank God, doctors, they saved him and saved her.
And so they give a, they do the prayer and they're like, oh, live it. You know, they do it in Farsi. And then Tommy's like, zap, zap, zap,
blah, 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 blah. Which is like actually very funny. And so MJ was saying, she starts saying how she was thinking about the first time that Vita met Tommy and Vita didn't know him or trust him and really likes how far they've come. And Vita says how she doesn't even like children and she's like, I didn't even expect you like Shams. You know, I didn't even like you as a baby. I didn't even like you. I just never liked you, MJ, but Shams, he wonderful.
Yeah. She says, yeah, Shams, like he's not hops. Which means constipated.
Well, yeah.
I guess that's just a thing. If the baby poops freely, you like him.
Yeah. So then we go over to Reza's house, and Reza's letting the stove, and Adam comes in, and Reza's plan to burn Esfand to ward away evil spirits, because I'm so nervous to see MJ! Like, MJ is up to her old tricks, and Mike is back to his old cheating ways. MJ is not up to her old tricks. She's been fully honest. She's like, yeah, she wants to be better friends with you. But, like, she has not made any promises that Reza gets to see Shams. I mean, he's just so making himself the victim here.
Yeah. And Adam's like, that really makes me so sad because I was really looking forward to everybody being friends again. He's like, oh, yeah, I thought one day I would achieve my dream, meeting baby Shams.
My one and only dream. Sometimes I go to Kids R Us and I look in the aisles and I think, maybe baby Shams is here today and maybe he'll be here. And he never is. And now my dream of meeting baby Shams is now turned into a nightmare-cities.
Listen, here's the plan. We need to focus on Golnessa, Golnessa's baby, and anybody else. But we are avoiding Mike and MJ like the plague.
Because I cannot be hurt anymore with dreams of meeting baby Shams.
You're literally in the middle of a plague going to a party. But okay, so, so let's go to Elijah's party.
So it's called Elijah's Jungle, which if it was just like an animal themed party, I think that'd be totally cool and awesome. So people are arriving and everything, and Reza and Adam show up first, and Reza's wearing some animal print, and then Gigi sees Adam and goes, you didn't dress up? And he goes, I wore camo. She's like,
I'm a safari hunter.
She's like, that's anti-animal. That's like, you're like the enemy right now. And me too. Honestly, Gigi has a point. Why are you wearing camo? I mean, Reza really failed Adam on this one.
Yeah. So Destiny's like, I'm dressed as a bitch tamer because people need to be tamed in this bitch.
Reza, yeah. Can I get you anything? Do you need anything? What can I do for you right now? Need a drink? Need me to yell at anybody? Need me to spread anything? What can I do? What can I do?
Destiny is really trying to do an Erica Jane thing. She gives us like a little monologue about her outfit. And she's like, I was looking around and I saw the whip and she was really calling for me. And none of us care, Destiny. Like, literally none of us care. You brought a whip. It's fine. There's nothing more needs to be said.
My note on this is Destiny tries to be sexy and hilarious for us, and I can't with her. So that was that scene.
Yes. And then there's a cat on the roof, and Destiny's like, oh, voy, 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 is that a bad sign? A black cat near Halloween? First of all, it wasn't even a black cat. And also, like, literally, it's just a cat. If anything, it just means that some Tennessee Williams is going to start up soon, you know?
Yeah. So MJ and Vita arrive, and Vita, of course, is like, why is there nobody here to tell us where to go? She's like, I think they think we can figure that one out, Mom. So
and she also tells MJ, she goes, you look good, but you could lose 20 pounds.
Oh, she does?
Yes. God,
that Vita. Jesus Christ. So let's see, Anita. Oh, so a guy's like, wow, Gigi, this is a great party. So Anita helped you? She goes, everything was my idea. And, like, I found the place. And, like, Anita helped for, like, 24 hours or something. Gigi's the least grateful fucking person.
I know. And then they cut to Anita looking crazy. I'm like, why are they going after Anita when she has been one of the most, like, lovely, graceful people who's been ever been on the show? Also, then we also see Adam at the bar, and he goes, honey, what do I normally drink my vodka with? Ginger ale, if you have it. Oh, yeah. That. Like, how do you not? How much do you have to outsource to Reza for your life?
Fucking human dish rag, that guy. So Adam's like, oh my god, Destiny. Oh my god, I see her. I see her. I see her, Destiny. I see her. She's like, so go say hi. And he's like, No. God, you'd think there were like roses walking towards him.
Also, don't forget, Adam is the main driver of this.
Adam Driver.
Do you know that Adam Driver has a restraining order against Tommy? It's crazy. Stars, they're just like us. Imagine if he were just getting into a role.
And of course, Reza's. Yeah. Oh, and of course, Reza's first question is, "Where's Nima?" Because he knows that Nima was not invited. Yeah.
As if he. So, so then Reza goes to Vita because she's sort of, her hair is sort of darker-ish, sort of light in some areas, dark in some others. You know, the pandemic is a crazy time for people's hair, right? So, he's like, ooh, I gotta say, Vita-jun, this hair is wonderful. Let me just, like, shower you with compliments. That way you feel comfortable telling me something biting, okay?
So let's go over and see what Nima's doing. I don't care that I'm not invited to a party. I'm gonna have coffee with my sister. Look at you in my hood, the West Side. I was so excited you came to UCLA, and then the school got shut down. So how's everything going? God, isn't this a fun scene? Have you ever painted on balconies? That's fun. Gosh, I wish I could get some wine. I would put it around my neck. She's like, that MacBook Air you gave me was so A model that it has no memory left, so thanks, can't do my homework. Yeah,
she's like I'm 19 and I'm already bored. She's like, I thought it'd be exciting to be on TV, and I regret every moment that I've spent here with you on the West Side. So she's talking about how she's not sure if she loves her, she's not loving her college experience, obviously because of COVID's for all those kids. I feel bad for them, actually. I mean, obviously, as if anyone wonders, what does Ben feel about college kids right now? I feel bad for them, everyone. Oh, also, I think today may be the 20th anniversary of me graduating college. Isn't that crazy, Ronnie?
Wow. I could be wrong. Happy Annie.
Could have been maybe 2 days ago or something like that. But, like, I'm reflecting in this very specific moment. So anyway, so she's talking about how, you know, she was doing psych and now she's in cognitive science and she's just not sure. So Nima, of course, decides to make it about himself. He's like, you know, I thought I was going to 100% be a lawyer after college, you know? And she goes, I can't imagine you as a lawyer in front of a judge. I know, hilarious. We'd probably have too much chemistry and things would get awkward. Anyway, so it's
goes,
like,
no, she goes, you'll distract the judge with your teeth.
That too. So he's like, you know, it's just, you never know what's going to happen. You know, like my company, it fell apart in COVID, but now I can do what I really want to do. Be a cliche in Los Angeles. I want to direct.
I've been wanting to get into that forever. Every time I see a Tide Pod, I just think of how brilliant it was whoever got those TikTokers to start swallowing them whole. So he's going to be a commercial director, I guess, and own his own media company, which I thought he had his own media company. But I don't know what job he's talking about, if it's a commercial casting company or...
It sounds like... you know, I sort of zoned out a little bit. I didn't hear specifically what type of director he wanted to be. But, I mean, maybe he does just want to direct commercials. I guess he had a media company. I think commercials,
because he had, like, a commercial company or a commercial casting company or something.
I think it was sort of like a... it wasn't sort of like an ad agency. It was like a marketing agency of some sort. But now he's going to be a director now. So, everyone, get excited for commercials by Nima. Can't wait.
Yeah. So then, back with Vita. That's so boring. I can't believe we did minutes on a Nima scene. Jeez. Mm-hmm. So we go back to Vita, and she's like, I saw Destiny. She's talking to Reza and MJ, and she's saying, yeah, I saw Destiny, and she lost weight, too. She looks very, very cute. She just needs a cute butt.
And so MJ's like, well, why do you say that, Mom? And Vita goes, you know, I'm saying her butt is great, no, but you know. And then they just cut to a close-up of Destiny's butt. Like, the editors are like, and now, audience, you judge. Yeah. So then Vita...
Such assholes.
I know, literally. So Vita's like, you know, if you want to have a perfect body, it requires certain things, you know?
Yeah. So then Mike comes in with some kind of a man person, and he's dressed as a monkey. And so Adam's like, oh my God, Destiny, should I walk by MJ? And then I could do this. Okay, pretend you're MJ. Oh my God, I'm scared of you now. Stop pretending you're MJ. Okay, just be Destiny, but be Destiny and I'll pretend you're MJ. Okay, I'm about, oh my God, I was pretending you're MJ and I got so scared. Okay, I think basically I'm just going to walk by her and then I'm going to go, MJ, hey.
Good plan, Adam. Why don't you give it another test run? So then Mike is walking around in his, first of all, you know, his, what's also annoying about Mike's costume is that it's like he's dressed like he's either going to a rave or some strange party or like a child, like it does, like it does not, I shouldn't say a children's party, he is technically at a children's party, but like it's also just like does not fit with the party, right? Yeah. It's like, why are you wearing this? Yeah, you look ridiculous.
Us, well, Paulina didn't come because she doesn't want to be around this group, and I can't blame her. Oh, really?
Is
the group fucking around on her, or what? And also, isn't she the one that got every single person involved by texting
them? That's what I wrote in my notes. First of all, I like that Mike, who is like Mr. Honesty over here, when they say, where's Paulina? And he goes, oh, well, she has the kids this weekend. And he's actually lying. It's like, could you just like not lie? Could you just not lie for once? And then he's going to act. I guarantee it's not that she didn't want to be around the group. I mean, because like you said, she was the one who texted everyone.
I think it's him not wanting her around the group.
I think that's what it is, because she has clearly no problem with the group. If she went and texted everyone when this all happened, he does not want her. He doesn't want them getting into her head. That's what that's all about.
Yeah. So then, Adam does finally go over to MJ, and he's like, oh my God, MJ, my emotions are so up and down right now, because like I want to hug you so hard. And she does not hug him. She's like,
that is truly such an obnoxious moment. Like, you literally have a restraining order out, and then you're acting as if there've been, you know, forces that have kept them apart. It's like, you have a restraining order against Tommy. Now, what Tommy did was 100% wrong. No one has ever condoned it. It's not cool. But don't act like, oh my God, I miss you so much, when you like can actually just remedy the situation.
Yeah. So Rez is like, guys, let's just keep it 100, okay? Destiny's there now, right? I don't know if I mentioned that.
Yeah, Rez is with
Destiny.
Yeah.
And Adam are both over there now. They're all there. He's like, Vita said, oh my God, Destiny looks snatched, but she needs an ass, girl.
And just like, rude. He's, well, if I'm talking about something to someone, about someone or whatever, or someone saying something to me that affects someone that I really love, I'm going to say it. I'm like, what? So, what do you achieve by doing this, right? So MJ says, well, it doesn't affect her until you tell her and make her feel bad at the beginning of a party. And he's like, well, am I making you feel bad? And Destiny says, well, yes, it's not a compliment.
Yeah, he's like, but I'm just saying the truth. And Destiny's like, oh my God, Vita, you're so petty, okay? Like, I love my body, and I don't give a shit about an ass, Vita June. I really don't. I don't give a shit about an ass.
And Reza's like, I was engaging in conversation, so later on, if it comes back, it won't bite me in the ass, because apparently I have a little bit more of an ass than Destiny.
So MJ's yelling after him, because he's like walking off all mad. She's like, are you happy now? And so Destiny's like, oh my God, you guys, I can't believe all this fighting is happening over an ass.
And Reza is like, you know, your mom was there talking shit, as if that's not what Reza does every minute of the day, right?
Yeah.
So MJ is basically, her theory is that Reza wants to make sure there's distance between her and Destiny, which is 100% correct.
Yeah,
it's 100% true. Correct.
Yeah, it's 100%. So she's talking to Vita and Destiny. They're still left there. And yeah. Destiny goes, yeah, but he just wanted me to know. She's like, oh, listen, you were never fat. You just need a little butt.
Yes.
That's all I was saying.
And Destiny's like,
she goes, and also I was telling him about that Kim Kardashian. His butt is horrible.
Oh my gosh. And Destiny tries to actually cover for Reza. She's like, well, you know, he's probably telling me because he probably overheard Vita June saying it. Andrea's like, no. Vita said it directly to him. And Vita says, I said to him. Like, she's like proud. She's so proud that she said this, you know? And then Vita tells us, you know, I would never repeat that to a person, ever. But of course, I stand by my opinion.
Yeah. Listen, also I said to him, I look at your butt and you look like a sunny side up egg that has been poked with a fork. That's what I said.
You know, when I look at your body, it looks like a bad letter B, where the top part of the B and the bottom part of the... No, that's a bad analogy. I'll just stop analogy now.
Lowercase L. Lowercase L.
Lowercase L. Lowercase L. More like or uppercase I.
And MJ's like, listen, Destiny, he wants us not to be cool, okay? He's been pouring gasoline on the fire that could be our friendship. And she's like, listen, I had issues, okay? I was feeling some sort of a way. I had problems with you. Don't blame him. Like, it has nothing to do with him.
And MJ says, you know, it's very difficult for Reza to have two girlfriends unless they're at each other's throats. And then I'm like, where's the montage? Give me a montage. I want to see, like... MJ versus Asa, MJ versus Golnessa, Lily Golichi, all of that stuff, because that is so true. Reza always pits his girlfriends against each other.
Yep. And so Destiny's like, I gotta walk away right now because I have to go tell on you.
So then London, of course, interrupts, and she's like, oh, well, you know, Libras are... She's talking to Vita, I guess. She's like, oh, are you a Libra? You know, Libras are diplomatic and romantic. And Vita's like, You have no ass either.
She's an idiot. She's an idiot, but she has an ass. So I'm not going to say anything. So Destiny, of course, goes straight to Reza and Adam. But to Reza, she's like, dude, your delivery was shit. She's like, if anyone says anything in this group, I'm calling it out immediately. Delicious Lucy's ice cream.
Well, instead of checking my temperature, you know I don't fuck with Vita, and you know I'm trying to have conversations with MJ. I'm like, that's why he said everything to you, you idiot.
Yeah.
So... now it's time for Elijah's big entrance. So here comes
you
Gigi.
You just hear Gigi going, Anita!
So in come the drummers and the African dancers and Gigi with her head wrap and everything. And like her dad in African clothing. And they bring in this baby. And then the dad raises Elijah up truly like Simba. I was like, I don't know what's going on here. And then Gigi makes a speech about raising a child during COVID, and it was also, did you notice that like half the guests at this party looked like Jonathan Pryce? I'm like, why are there so many Jonathan Pryces at this party?
Yeah, there really were. So then that's funny. Because I feel like five, now that you mention it, my memory is like flip, flip, flip. Oh, There's Jonathan Pryce asking Gigi how her baby is. Bloop, 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 bloop. There's Jonathan Pryce asking somebody else where the bunch is.
I'm like, why is... How do they know so many Jonathan... Even her dad actually kind of looks like Jonathan, like a Persian version of Jonathan Pryce.
So yeah, she gives her speech about how she's been so careful not to let her baby see anybody. So let's, you know, let's get 50 people's worth of germs on him. And then she starts doing the African dance and stuff. And Reza's just slamming drinks in the back. So then MJ goes over to talk to Gigi. And she's like, listen, you know, I let my mom say hi. And, you know, of course, she apparently just starts saying a bunch of shit. And she said, Destiny needs a butt. And Reza told Destiny. And that is so disrespectful to my mom. And she goes, yeah, but your mom shouldn't have said that. Like, that's not cool.
But MJ's like, but why should he repeat that? And Gigi says, well, what I did not want right now is happening at my son's party. And I am livid. I'm like, your son is literally... been returned to whatever baby vault he's been stored in for the past 2 hours. Yeah. Like, literally, this is all adults.
Yeah, and this show is so funny. Every time something happens, it's never the fault of who the person... Like, last year, all this stuff about Adam, it was Adam's fault. Why isn't Adam getting in trouble for any of this? Adam never got in trouble, really, until the end. It was all Reza fighting for everybody else about what they did based on or in reaction to what Adam did, you know? So even when it comes to the mom fights, it's like, how could he do that to my mother? Your mother just was a total asshole to her at a party.
Yeah. So now the whole group sits down together, which is always great. And so MJ is like, Reza, I am so upset with you right now. Well, I'm upset with you. Well, you have no right to be upset because you disrespected my mother in a public place. Well, and then she goes, Reza, you can't control yourself to walk up to Destiny and intentionally hurt her.
And he's like, yeah, because it's the two of you. You tell lies when I'm not around. And Mike goes, lies, lies. You are a sneaky, sly dog. Mike, you just got caught in a tech scandal, okay?
I know. Like, Mike has been quiet up to this point. He's just sort of like lurking around in his monkey costume. Just like, it's like, is Mike at this party? He's been waiting. He's been waiting for a crack in the conversation to launch in on this. So Reza goes, anything that's said, I'm going to out it to you guys, you know, because I'm a victim, because I try to hold things in for people, and now I'm going to put it all out there. And Mike says, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the spoof messages that hurt Paulina, okay? Okay, you hurt Paulina.
People are coming for my relationship, and it's you. And then we see clips of Reza with Jessica at dinner at that time. And then in Thailand, trying to throw Mike under the... But, you know, again, I don't like Reza at all. I think Reza's such an asshole. But, I mean, this is totally your fault, sir.
Mike. Yeah, like, let's not, like, put, like, undue importance on... Even if Reza did do these quote-unquote spoof messages... Mike is still way more at fault, and he has, I mean, Reza does have a, this is what I hate and love about this show, is that Reza does have a point, that we're sitting here talking about the stupid quote-unquote spoof messages, and I keep saying quote-unquote spoof messages, because I can't bear to say the term spoof messages in all earnestness, so, but like, we're talking about those instead of actually the fact that Mike was being totally... cheaty. Like, I don't know. Is it cheating? I feel like it's cheating when you send those messages to someone and you're in a relationship with someone else.
Yeah. So Mike's like, oh, Reza doesn't even know what love is. And he's like, oh, you do? You had sex with Golnessa in Turkey. Did you have sex with Golnessa in Turkey or not? And she's like, why would you feel the need to bring that up right now? And did you fuck those girls in the ass?
Dude, you're a snake. You don't even know what love is, okay? How about this? Why don't you buy a CD by Foreigner and listen to the song I Want to Know What Love Is, and maybe that would help you, okay? Because you're a snake, okay? And you heard Paulina, okay? So, no. So then Reza goes, did you fuck those girls in the ass? He goes, no, but I did you in the ass, bitch. I'm like, Mike, that literally makes no sense. And
yeah, but what's Reza's obsession with fucking people in the ass anyway? It's like, that's like his biggest thing. It's not that he fucked them. It's that it's always in the ass with Reza. Like,
I think he has some weird internalized homophobia, as I think actually most of us do who are gay. But his, I think, comes out in these weird masculinity moments where he's like, he, I don't know, but he is very obsessed with the fucking in the ass thing. And Mike's response of no, but I did you in the ass, bitch. I'm like, I don't understand what this discourse is right now, especially since one's dressed like a monkey.
And Russell's like, you act like this innocent little angel. He's like, no, I'm not innocent, but you backstab. But you said it sound, you made it sound like I said Gonessa sent those texts. You 100% said that. You did. He's like, no. So he goes, you called me and you told me that Gonessa comes up with it. You told me to eat some kind of mango bullshit ice cream. And then, you know what? Did I lie, anybody? Did I lie? Dusty's like, no, I have some mango ice cream in my freezer, too. He really loves it.
So I'm a little lost because I think I labeled everything as Reza, even when it was Mike speaking. So I just have everything as, like, every line of dialogue as Reza for some strange reason. But so Reza, either way, Reza said, like, you make up stories to cover up your own stories. And Maris, are you saying on no planet am I ever seeing your son? While me and you are hanging out while we're having fun, I thought that I would someday get to see Baby Shams.
And she's like, yeah, because you have a restraining order against my husband for 3 more years. Yeah, because he came to my house with a baseball bat and said he was going to kill me. Yeah, but then 7 weeks before that, I had a whole entire baby and you didn't even show up. Yeah, but you told me not to. Oh my God, you're also wrong. You're also right about how wrong you all are.
But then, and then here comes another moment. I don't know if you noticed this. And I was like, I don't know how to feel about this moment either. So MJ gets onto her feet. And I don't know if you heard about, if you heard this, but in the background, they started playing wild animal noises. And I know it was sort of like a reference to the fact that it was an animal party. And they're talking about, like, that these people are all fighting. So they do the wild animal noises. Something did not hit me so, like, it sort of, I felt like it kind of hit wrong. I think there's something about, like, seeing a woman standing and fighting, and that they play wild animal noises that I did not totally love from the producers. So
I took it out of, like, they're fighting again. Everybody's yelling at each other.
I think that's
again.
What it was intended. That's why I'm not like, how dare they? I think I know what they were intending, but I'm also like, can we stop doing that association with women? But, you know, whatever. That's just me. You know,
it's just like, I can't like, there's already so much to be offended at that. It's almost like we say with Paulina or with Jessica before her, you're dating a guy who does all of this shit. You keep going back and then you're wondering why he keeps doing this shit over and over. Like, I don't feel for you. I have no feeling for you. And guess what? In this situation, I am Paulina. Okay. I keep coming back and watching Shaws. I can't, like, sit here and be completely offended at every minute of Shaws. No. I'm the one subjecting myself to this. I know exactly what these people are, and here I am taking 10 pages of notes about this shit.
Listen, no, I'm not saying this was, like, the worst offense in the world, but I was saying, like, I felt like it was a little bit of a tone deaf moment. So I think that we're allowed to have, like, you know, nuances in things like that. Like, you know, not everything has to be, like, the height of outrage. You can just be like,
I either don't care or I'm, like, furious, you know. But I'm not yelling at you. I'm just yelling at myself that I just realized that I'm Paulina.
Oh, I'm so sorry that you're Paulina right now.
I'm not yelling.
You should be yelling at me then if you're Paulina, and you should be taking the show's side.
I'm texting everybody your text to me.
And then I'm going to come to your defense, and then you're going to betray me. So MJ's like, I would never want anyone else in that hospital other than my husband, my mother, and you. And, you know, I can hope that things change, and I'm trying to build something. And Red's like, and Michael's, listen to her. She's pouring her heart out. Much like whoever sent me those spoof messages was not pouring their heart out.
Gigi's like, yeah, but Reza's pouring his heart out too. And Reza's like, why are you yelling? My feelings aren't valid, but her feelings are valid.
I feel like I'm pouring my heart out onto a beautiful Jenny's Splendid Ice Cream Sundae featuring mango, lemon, and coconut.
Oh, God. And Gigi's like, are you hearing what I'm hearing? He's hurt. He's a Leo. And so are you. So are you, MJ.
It's appropriate, Leo. I mean, it is the animal party that Leo, it all comes down to them being Leos at the animal party. So Gigi's like, I almost did Reza voice for Gigi. Gigi's like, just say I'm hurt. And MJ goes, listen, I'm really sorry I hurt you.
Well, it's weird because I was just with you and we were having one talk and then I meet up with Gigi and it's another talk and it's so fucking deflating when you hear the truth from someone else, but you hear the hopes from one other person. Long story short, I can never meet Baby Shams, my dream.
And Destiny's like, okay, you weren't honest about your text, Mike, and Reza wasn't honest about his feelings. But I was honest. You need a butt. You need a butt.
And Gigi's like, yeah, this is all bad juju. Like, this is my son's happy day. And MJ goes, go Nessa. Like, your son's literally not even here. So she just kicks them all out. And they're like, fine. They don't even care. They just all shuffle out.
They just shuffle out with like a medium shrug. Yeah. Oh, Shaz.
It was hilarious. Sunset. So funny. So funny and so good. Oh. I'm like offended and outraged so much of the time. And then when it's over, I'm like, can't wait for next week.
I know. It's like as it ends, we just shrug and walk out the door too.
Exactly right. It's like back to our lonely Shaz existence. Recap.
All right, everybody. Well, thanks so much for being here with us. Go join Patreon for bonus episodes and videos. We do 2 videos a week. And come follow us on Instagram, Twitter, wherever you do your socials. We sure love you, and we will talk to you later on today, or in the morning, I guess I should say, with some Below Deck Sailing Yacht. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C, Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Better Than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Always the Wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.